Today I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land.
It is great to be with you this morning to celebrate and honor our Savior and to worship Him and to celebrate the great confidence we have of a home in heaven through Him, to remember and to honor our Lord on the Lord's Day, and to spend this particular Lord's Day honoring our moms. Happy Mother's Day, moms, those of you here, those of you who are joining us electronically. And Jen and I were talking over this weekend. We have trad moms, moms who are biological moms. We have adoptive moms. We have stepmoms. We have honorary moms. We have grandmoms. And we just, the many ways God blesses this congregation and our families is just wonderful and enriching. And so we're glad to celebrate that. I also have the blessing this summer of officiating over a couple of different wedding services. And so last night I was Zooming a meeting with the couple in Texas from the congregation where we came from. And we were getting to the point in our preparations for the service. I always meet with couples and hopefully give them a few tools so that when they do get married, they have some tools to kind of work through and make a good relationship even better. And we got to the point where we're talking about children. And this is a young couple. They're fresh out of college and they don't have any kids. And as someone who has elderly children, I thought, you know, I'm not sure, what do you tell somebody about parenting that doesn't have any kids? God sends them to you without an owner's manual and says, here, work it out. And so thank you to all you moms. Whatever role you came to be mom, whether you are a trad mom or anything else, we thank you so much for bringing us into the world, bringing your kids into the world, and then figuring it out and working through it and finding ways to be this godly mom. And so we're going to celebrate that this morning. And what's fascinating, what I love about this is you go to Scripture and you find over and over and over again God saying, I love you. And the way you can understand my love for you is I love you like a mom. And so we're looking at a few of those verses about how God promises to love us the way a mom loves us. Number one, a godly mother is a protector. We're going to go to Matthew 23:37. These are really short. They'll be on the screen, but you're welcome to open your Bibles and go with me. Matthew 23 and verse 37. A godly mother is a protector. Jesus speaking here. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks and under her wings, but you were not willing. Stop there. So this passage comes immediately following Jesus pronouncing judgment on the nation of Israel and her leaders, because Israel and her leaders have rejected the spokespeople, the representatives that God has sent to them. He says in verse 31 of this same passage that the Israelites have murdered the prophets. They're about to crucify their Messiah. And they will persecute the wise men and teachers that Jesus is sending them, that he references in verse 34. So Jesus is lamenting the fact that God has tried to express love for the Israelites, for his people under the old covenant, and they have regularly rejected that. And because they rejected God's messengers, because they are rejecting God's son, then Jesus' presence for them has a different meaning. Jesus comes into the world to be Savior, but because of their rejection of him, his presence in the world means their condemnation. And this is where Jesus laments like a mother hen who gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus longs to protect his people, God's children, not to condemn. But despite his desire to protect, some, he says, were not willing to be saved. The great heartbreak of a mom's heart who wants to protect, and some of those are hard to protect. And that takes us to our godly mothers. A godly mother's nature is to protect, not to bring harm, but to protect. And for you moms, you can appreciate this. That takes on different stages, different roles at different stages in life. When they're little, you want to protect them from getting scrapes and bruises, and you kiss the boo-boos, and you put Band-Aids on it. And when they're a little bit older, you want to protect them from heartaches, and you want to protect them from bad decisions. And I remember, this is a dad reference. I apologize. I remember my dad telling him when I was a teenager. I said, "You know, Dad, we'd get something to the effect that we'd get along a lot better if you'd quit trying to tell me what to do." Classic teenager, right? And I remember my dad saying, "I don't care how old you get, boy, you're always going to be my son." And so no matter how old your kids are, moms, you always want to be that protector, even where they're out of the house and on their own. You never give up that idea of wanting to protect them. Like Jesus, godly mothers sometimes need to protect their children. And sometimes you need to protect them even from themselves. And that's what Jesus is speaking of here. A godly mother is a great protector. Secondly, a godly mother is a comforter. A comforter. And this comes from Isaiah chapter 66. The last one-third of the book of Isaiah is called the Book of Comfort, chapters 40 through 66. And this comes from that, chapter 66 and verse 13. Isaiah 66 and verse 13 reads, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem." Prior to that Book of Comfort, prior to that last third of Isaiah, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He's speaking to his people Israel, and he's correcting them for exactly what Jesus was talking about in that previous passage. He's correcting them for being rebellious, for rebelling against his authority and his desire to protect them and take care of them. And so he's calling them on the carpet, so to speak, for being that rebellious. And through Isaiah, God is prophesying that because of their rebellion, they're going to receive discipline. They will be punished, and he's going to use the Assyrians and the Babylonians to bring about that punishment. The Bible calls them his right arm, or he calls them in the Bible his right arm. And so Isaiah has the very unpleasant task of relaying the message from God to his children that you have misbehaved and you are going to be punished. I remember Clarita, my mother. Many of you have met her, and she has gone home to her reward. I remember Clarita telling me when I had earned a punishment, and I've earned plenty of them. I remember her saying, "Do you want a spanking now, or do you want it later?" And I always hoped she'd forget, and she never did. And that's kind of what Isaiah is saying to his people here. You have earned punishment, and it's going to come. And that's the first two-thirds of Isaiah. But that last part where we are reading from today, the Book of Comfort, is where God, again through Isaiah, speaks to his people and says, you've earned a punishment. It's coming. You're going to get it. But when that's over with, I'll comfort you. When that's over with, we'll be over this, and we'll put it behind us, and we'll move on. So he calls them and teaches them that he is there to bring about, he's a good parent who will punish, but he's also a good parent who comforts when that punishment is over. God is willing to discipline his children. And for you moms, you know how hard that is. It's never fun to be the punisher. It's never fun to be the disciplinarian. But when we really love our children, we do set parameters. We do set boundaries. And the Babylonian and Assyrian exiles were exactly that. They were God's discipline to his children. And it was painful, not only for the children, but for God as well. Nobody understands what it means when, I don't know if we spank anymore, but I got plenty of spankings when I was a kid. And I remember my parents saying, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurt you." And I thought, no way. Until we had kids. And it's a different hurt, but it hurts just as much. It hurts God to discipline his children. But he loves them enough to do it when they need it. He will discipline. However, when that discipline is over, he calls his children to him and he comforts them. The same way for our godly mothers. It's our nature. It's a godly mother's nature to comfort her children when they hurt. And like God, a mother who really loves her children will discipline when necessary and use whatever proper means of discipline are available to help their child learn the lessons that need to be learned. But once that lesson is learned, And then those godly mothers bring that child back in their arms and bring about as reconciliation. There's a time for everything, including discipline and including comfort. A godly mother is a comforter. Thirdly, a godly mother is a deliverer. We're still in Isaiah. This is Isaiah 42. This is the beginning of the book of comfort. Isaiah 42. And in verse 14, Isaiah relays a word from God about being God's, about being Israel's deliverer. God speaking through Isaiah. For the long time I kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp, I pant. This is again a passage from the book of comfort. And in this passage, the Lord speaks of rescuing his children from exile. You've earned a punishment. You've earned a spanking. You're going to get it. You want it now or later. The Babylonian and Assyrian captivity brought that punishment. And when it's over with, God says, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out of this. I'm going to rescue you from this punishment like a mother in a delivery. The problem with the Israelites was they were rebellious children. I love the modern terminology. We don't talk about rebellious children, but we talk about compliant and strong-willed. And God gave Jeremy one of each, a compliant and a strong will. And they both show signs of that even today while they're old enough to have children of their own. And we have great, wonderful grandchildren. But Israel was the classic strong-willed child. And God over and over again tried to call out to Israel and tried to reach out to Israel. And like Jesus said, wanted to comfort Israel and draw her under his wings to care for her like a mother would do that. And over again, Israel rebelled. Israel fought against God. They abandoned God. They took up idol worship. In Deuteronomy, Moses recites words of a song of his day, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18. He says, you deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. That was a song that was common in Moses' day. And it was just it speaks of the rebellion of God's people. Their strong-willed nature, the Bible calls it stiff-necked nature, who does refuse to submit to God's will. It's interesting, as parents, we have the chance. Okay, we'll just do it now. It came to me now, we'll do it now. Every parent wants to be the cool parent. I say every, that's a pretty broad brush. I think most parents want to be the cool parents. I want to be the cool parent. I want to be the one that hangs out with my kids. I want to be the parent that we go do things together. We have fun together. And what's fascinating about kids is it's hard for them to learn that they have complete control over whether their mom or dad gets to be the cool parent or the mean parent, depending on how much they are compliant or strong-willed. The strong-willed child is forcing their parent, if they're going to be real parents, to be the mean parent. We've got to set boundaries. We've got to set edges. We've got to tell you where the danger zones are, where the cliffs are, so you don't walk off the cliff. And so you want to be a cool parent. I think Jesus wanted to be the cool parent when he talks about gathering the chicks. I think God the Father wanted to be the cool parent when he writes to his children through Isaiah. I think he wanted to be the cool parent. But Israel wouldn't be the compliant child. They were the rebellious child. And so God over and over again said, we can't do this. This can't hold. And the song that they sang, you deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. And so God sent them into captivity, their punishment. And what's fascinating is during that time they were in captivity, Scripture says God kept silent. God kept silent. Now, that doesn't mean he wasn't with them, doesn't mean he wasn't blessing them, but there was an estrangement. There was, things weren't right. Things were off, and God kept silent. Is it nothing worse than when mom gives you the silent treatment when you're in trouble? I don't know what your experience was, but my experience when I was a kid, I remember sitting in the back seat, and I remember when we had pushed Clarita just far enough, me and my sister, who's 2 years older than me, and we pushed her enough, we would get the death stare from the front seat, right? Just look back like, you're on your last leg. You know, if you want to take one more breath, you need to straighten up, boy. That's what God's looked at Israel and says, we can't do this. The Babylonian and Assyrian captivities. And what was crazy, we'd sit in the back seat and then she'd turn back around, but you could just know that stare's going on. You could just know she's still staring. That was God when they were in captivity. God kept silent. He's leaving the pressure on. The pressure's on. You have misbehaved. Here's your punishment. Now you need to wear this. You need to own it. You need to feel this. This is going to be a burden. It's going to be heavy on you. But I'm not going to let the pressure off. I'm not going to let off the burden. You've got to learn from this. But the good news is, once the punishment had done its job, once the correction had been received, God was willing to come back and comfort his people. It says further on in Isaiah 42, he's talked about it like a woman giving childbirth. In verse 16, he says, he will lead them back. He will lead the blind back home by ways they've not known. This is Isaiah 42:16. He will turn the darkness into light for his returning children. He'll make rough places smooth so his children can safely make their journey back. God says, you're gonna feel this. This is going to hurt. This may hurt you more than me. It's going to hurt you, but it's going to hurt. But when it's over, it's over. When it's done, it's done. When it's through, it's through. And that estrangement, that tension that was there, is relieved and removed. That's part of a godly mother's nature, is to deliver her children from hardship. There's an old African proverb that says, smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. Smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. Several people have repeated that form, that parable in various forms. But basically the idea is that we don't learn how to navigate life by never having to deal with the hard parts. When someone tries to remove all the difficulties of life and all the stumbling blocks and all the issues and all the challenges that we make, we never learn how to deal with those. And it's tempting for a parent to say, let me remove all of that. Let me take away all those things. But we as kids, when we were kids, if you are a kid, we tend to get in over our heads. I don't know of any child that I can't recall. How many kids made a promise when you were younger? Yes, I promise I'll water and feed that pet every day if you'll just get the pet for me. And we meant it. We wanted to do that, but we were in over our heads because we weren't quite old enough for that kind of responsibility. And so parents need to bail us out. How many times did you have an assignment coming up and you waited till the last minute and you needed help getting that assignment done? How many times have you gotten in over your head? That's our nature. That's a child's nature. That was Israel's nature. That's our nature. And the godly mother sees that, and God sees how the godly mother behaves. And he says, this is how we're going to react to each other. You're going to have to deal with the hardship. You're going to become a skilled sailor. But when that's done, we'll get back together. The hard part about parenting, since they don't come with the owner's manual, and yes, I know we have scripture, and yes, we need to use scripture, but every child is completely different. And so how you apply that scripture to each and every unique child is a challenge that parents and moms face all the time. And one of the great challenges for moms is to know when the children needs discipline and when the children needs rescuing. A parent's call to understand that moment is a great call. And when it comes time to rescue the kids, godly mothers are at the ready. Yes, this is going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt me. But when it's over, we're done. And when you need rescuing, I'll rescue. Just as she delivered them from birth, she'll deliver them time and time again from the predicaments that they get themselves into. Because that's what godly mothers do. So, church, let's honor our moms as the blessing that God has given them to us. Gabe read it for us. He always does a great job. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. If God has blessed you this morning with motherhood, then we are here to celebrate and honor you. Whether trad mom or bio mom, stepmom, adoptive mom, honorary mom, grandmom, if you're stepping into a role in somebody's life to be someone who helps shape and pattern that life, we honor you and celebrate you today. As a protector, as a comforter, as a deliverer. And it's a great testament to our moms that over and over again in Scripture, when God says, let me try to help you understand how I love you, He says, it's like mom. It's like mom. And if your experience with your mom wasn't like that, then please know that your experience with your God is. Some of us had moms who wanted to do better and struggled, didn't always do their best. Those of us who've been moms and dads know that even our best isn't always the best that it needs to be. But if you're blessed for having children, then God bless you. You're first blessed for being a child, first blessed for having a child, and second, third blessed for being able to help shape a child. Happy Mother's Day. We're grateful for you, and we're grateful for you as God's gift to us. And we pray that your day is blessed. We pray that your life is blessed. And we pray that our God will always love us as a mother loves her children. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing, and that's our invitation to you. If there's any way that we can serve you, won't you please tell us how? We may not have touched on anything this morning that is on your heart. Maybe we have, and if we have and we can help you with that, please let us know. We'd love to pray with you, walk with you, spend time in God's Word with you, see what God's plan is for your life, and if there's something else on your heart that we can serve you, it would be an honor to serve. Happy Mother's Day. If we can serve you, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.
For me, see on the portals, he's waiting and watching.